everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing our show. And together we welcome you to Buckmaster for this Thursday, the 7th of January, 2021, as we enter our 11th year on the radio this week. We have redoubled our efforts to bring folks together on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com, where we take the live feed from kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show live line, which we will be getting to in a moment, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And we will get to our newsmaker interview with Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie in a minute or two. But there are a couple of things that I want to say this morning. I had a very troubled night's sleep. I'm sure I'm not alone. I'm sure millions of Americans were having trouble sleeping last night after what we witnessed. I woke up this morning with that same terrible feeling that I experienced after the assassination attempt on Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords 10 years ago. That 10-year anniversary is tomorrow. You know, I had the same feeling the day after 9/11 as well. What we saw at the nation's capital was a horrifying and shameful moment in American history. I believe it was one of the darkest hours in our nearly 250-year history. We witnessed thugs. That's right. That's what they are, thugs, not patriots, who were occupying the Capitol. Thugs, folks that were acting like a scene out of a banana republic coup. Has America ever been more profoundly humiliated in our 250-year history? Who's against peaceful protest? Nobody. No American is against a peaceful protest. But everyone, I mean everyone, who broke through the police line at the Capitol should be prosecuted to the fullest. One thing I've learned about myself during this past COVID year, the past 12 months or so, is that I'm an optimist at heart, and despite what we saw yesterday, America's best days are ahead of us. Let's go now on the live line. Pima County Supervisor, District Number 5, Republican Steve Christie. Steve, how are you?
It's good, but it's District Number 4.
District Number 4. Sorry about that. Steve, you have been a big supporter of President Trump. Has that support softened after what you witnessed yesterday?
No, not in the least. I, too, am shocked and horrified by the amount of violence and the death of a former service member of the armed services, needlessly, obviously, inside the Capitol. It was shocking and horrifying. I do firmly believe that what we saw was not illustrative or indicative of the protest plans, or I should say the gathering plans there in Washington. I believe that the vast majority of the people were there to support President Trump as the electoral votes were being collected. And I am also of the belief that there was a outside agitation groups that probably devolved that whole scene on purpose to make it into a riot situation. It was shocking, just as the violence, the looting, and the vandalism was shocking in Portland and Seattle and Kenosha and Baltimore and Minneapolis and New York. Violence of that nature, of any kind, any time, any place, should be condemned, and the perpetrators should be prosecuted. It should not be tolerated. But I certainly believe that the vast majority of the people there were there for peaceful purposes, to express their feelings about their president, about the election, and about the Electoral College. And it was a very shameful way that it erupted into such needless, senseless, and, as you say, thuggery.
Trump supporters need to own this. Those were not my words, but from our conservative talk show host, Hugh Hewitt, which Hugh precedes this program. Hugh said that Trump supporters need to own it. He said there's no evidence that Antifa or any outside group was agitating here. And he also said Trump is done. That's a quote. His political future is over. Your thoughts?
Well, I would disagree with much of what he has to say, though I'm a big admirer of Hugh Hewitt. I believe that if there is any responsibilities of the Trump supporters that were there for what happened, yes, they should take that responsibility and own it. But I also believe that if it is investigated and looked at from a broad spectrum, that the vast majority of people that were there were not there for violent purposes. They were there to express their constitutional rights. And Trump may be in a position right now where his days as president are fading, but I don't by any stretch of the imagination feel that he's done.
I don't want to belabor this because we do want to get to some of the local issues, but as far as legacy, this certainly will tarnish, and I'm sure you, as a supporter of President Trump, believe he's done some very good things. But wouldn't you agree, Steve Christie, this certainly will tarnish his presidency? Or maybe you wouldn't agree with it.
Well, this certainly was not what we, by any sense of the word, could we say a good thing for President Trump's legacy as he leaves. I don't feel he was responsible for the thuggery, as you described it, that took place in the Capitol. I believe that he was there to show his supporters that he was still with them. But it was not a good day. It was a sad and horrific day for our sacred center of our democracy and our republic, the Congress, to be assaulted like that. I did notice that there was no burning and there was no looting, but nonetheless, it was an assault on the very foundation of America. And those that did that, I don't believe had the authorization or the support or the backing of the vast majority of people that were there or by President Trump. And those that perpetrated those despicable acts of violence and destruction should be persecuted to the full extent of the law.
All right, let's switch now to this first meeting with the new board. We've got three new board members. You were the lone vote against, never came to a vote about Mr. Huckleberry's whether or not to renew his contract, did it? I mean, you would have if you'd had the opportunity to not renew it right on Tuesday, correct?
Well, what basically happened is that we've been, I think, walking on eggshells regarding Mr. Huckleberry's extension of his contract. There's two elements, of course, the extension of his actual contract and the raise he's requesting. And there's been great speculation for many months, as we've heard on your show from you and your guests, about what is the future with Mr. Huckleberry. What is he going to step aside? Is he going to retire? Is he going to renew? And I felt that it was incumbent on me to be one of the, I guess you could say, one of the senior members of the Board of Supervisors to address that problem head on. And what I did was to bring that matter to full focus in front of the board and make a motion that his contract be not renewed or extended, and that should be done effective immediately. It died for lack of a second.
If you were to replace Mr. Huckleberry, is this the time, though, in the middle of the COVID crisis? And look at the experience this man. His supporters say he has one of the best minds for county administration in the United States.
Well, I would never take away the talents that Mr. Huckleberry does have. However, one thing I learned in my business life and in running my own business and managing people is that no one in any organization is indispensable. And when people are then termed as indispensable and irreplaceable, that's when problems arise, and that's when things get stagnant and set and ground down because people feel they're being being kept hostage in these situations. And the reasons that you just mentioned by those who support Mr. Huckleberry, I think reflect that feeling that we better not do anything new because Mr. Huckleberry's been there for going on close to three decades. I don't agree with that position. I don't feel anyone is indispensable, and I think at this particular point, probably now more than ever, would be an excellent time. A new board, a new year, a new set of eyes, a new fresh look at problems that have been going on for decades, and particularly the current one with the pandemic that obviously has some serious flaws in it as far as it's being persecuted by the county administration and the Board of Supervisors. Now would be, I think, an ideal time to make a clean break and to find a replacement that can bring in a new set of ideas, a new set of philosophies, and a new management structure.
Let's pause right here, Steve Christie. I want to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. Then I want to talk about a little bit more about Mr. Huckleberry after the break. So, Steve, stay with us, okay?
I sure will.
All right, Mona's Danish Bakery, my favorite bakery in town. Steve, who is the owner and the chief baker, and his assistant chief, Michael, they turn out, I think, just the most incredible pastries in town. My wife was up there this morning and brought home, of course, my favorite, this giant, the top of this blueberry muffin was the size of a Frisbee. Well, not quite, but it was big, and I like the top of the muffins. I will definitely go for the top first, and then I'll go for the second part. But, man, so good, right out of the oven. Mona's is open right now for lunch. Of course, they open at 6:30 for breakfast. They're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. If you haven't tried a Danish Kringle, you are missing something. We had a nice Kringle. We had the cherry Kringle right before the holidays, and it was just amazing. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com, and, of course, there's a link at buckmastershow.com. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, Pima County Supervisor District Number 4, not 5, as I said at the beginning of the interview with Mr. Christie, continues with me after this break.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowlands 1 and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Bring that up a little bit, Tom. There you go. A little Latin bump music. I have tasked, in other words, I've asked Mr. Fairbanks to kind of shake it up a little bit here. I'm in a mood to shake things up with our bump music. Got a lot of bump music in our library for the Buckmaster Show that has just been lost through the ages, but Tom has recovered a lot of it. So folks are going to be hearing some different bump music here in the future. Steve Christie is with us, the lone Republican on the five-member Pima County Board of Supervisors. Steve was reelected to a four-year term in the November election. He represents the supervisorial district number four. A couple more comments about Mr. Huckleberry. So there'll be a two-week this will be brought back in 2 weeks, Steve Christie, and then will this all be done behind closed doors, or what's going to happen here?
Well, it won't be if I have anything to say about it. The kind of the feeling of several of the new members was that Mr. Huckleberry's contract and elements of his employment need to be discussed behind closed doors, which I think would be a very bad, very negative way of trying to deal with this issue that I think is very contentious and has a lot of community-wide sentiment and interest, and that people, generally speaking, are tired of behind closed doors activities. Now, Mr. Huckleberry presented his contract, which, by the way, he wrote himself. He presented it in public as a matter of public record to the Board of Supervisors and had it agendized. So if he's going to present it in that public forum and in that public manner, then to me there is absolutely no reason why his contract details cannot be discussed in a public forum in a public manner. And to put it behind closed doors just leads to the mistrust and the distrust that the public holds for not only Pima County government, but government in general, for making deals and making accommodations and collaborations behind doors where the public has no access or no knowledge. So I will continue, as I did in Tuesday's meeting, to object to any kind of executive session or closed doors matters or off-site negotiations on this issue of Mr. Huckleberry's contract, particularly when he presented it to the board in full light of day on and agendized it as a matter of public record.
Would you like new blood brought in from the outside, or what? I think there's at least four or five, maybe more, half dozen assistant county administrators. Are you one that likes to hire from within, Steve Christie? Did you do so when you had the auto dealerships?
I was a firm believer in hiring from within, and I still feel that has a very valid pathway in county government. And yes, there are several administrators that are working with currently in the county administration that I think very highly of, as I've worked closely with several of these individuals over the last 4 years. And if we can't seem to find anyone who is capable, and I believe we have those that are capable, at least a couple of them, within our administration that could easily step into the role as county administrator, then we should just take applications and go through a process. I'm not in favor of a big national search. I think that's a waste of time and money. Usually it ends up that somebody's just trying to enhance their own job portfolio and shop it around for the best deal. And they go through the interview process and at a great deal of expense to taxpayers and time to those involved in the process. And then they say, no, never mind. I've decided to take a job somewhere else.
Yeah.
I've seen that happen too much. It's a waste of time and money. And I think we can do and conduct our own search in-house in a very effective and efficient manner. And certainly there are several, in my mind and under my consideration, within the current county administration that I think would be very talented and capable to take Mr. Huckleberry's position.
How about this mandatory curfew on the COVID curfew? It's now the object of a lawsuit. A group of Tucson bars and restaurant owners have filed a state lawsuit seeking to overturn the county's mandatory 10 p.m. curfew order. They're calling it unlawful and discriminatory. Have you had a chance to look into this at all?
Well, yes, and when it first came before the board, I was totally dead set against it. I thought it was another effectiveless and unnecessary burden to be placing on a very fragile economic sector of our economy. And you know, the old saying, I don't think the virus is any more virulent at 9:30 as it is at 10:30, and the businesses that are targeted, seemingly targeted in this mandate, are the food operators in the restaurant and bar industry, and they haven't even been given the opportunity to see if they can conduct their business at 10:30 in a manner that they've been conducting them that is in compliance with all of the state and local protocols of the necessary requirements to operate. So to me, it's another example of the county's overreach into the operation of businesses that is so detrimental, so ravaging, and it's obviously in reaction and in reliance that what we've been doing so far has not worked. So what their thought process is, let's put something else, not in place of, but on top of things that will not work. And I can't help it because I'm a member of the Board of Supervisors, so I'm included in all these lawsuits. But I'd like to wave my hand and say, wait a minute, go ahead and sue. But I was never in favor of the curfew to begin with and voted against it and spoke against it, yet I'm being included as the Board of Supervisors, which is fine. But no, I think that the industries that and businesses that are starting this lawsuit have every right to do so. I'm interested in to see how it processes itself, and I would support an elimination of the curfew, and I hope the legal entities involved so decree.
But the board's going to go a different direction. They're going to try for actually more restrictions. Wouldn't you agree? And these would be outside of what the state mandate is.
I would agree, and I fully believe that that there are going to be more discussions of more restrictions, more mandates, more impositions, not only on individual residents of Pima County and their ability to make their own choices in how they want to react and deal with the COVID, but also, again, to point to businesses to put this whole issue of the COVID pandemic on their backs and make them the bad guys, which they are not. They've proven by even the standards set by the state health director, Dr. Christ, who pointed out that somebody said, well, 24% of all COVID transmissions were activated by someone who had been at a restaurant or a bar. Well, she turned it around and said, well, that means that 76% of those people never went to a bar. So I think there's numbers are being played with. Science is being used as some sort of a edifice that's not functioning. And whatever has been working, or excuse me, whatever has been mandated in the past is not working. So let's not put some more mandates on that aren't going to work either.
Well, we do have a huge problem. What are we, the number per capita, the number one hotspot, Arizona in the world for COVID?
No doubt.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no question that the COVID is rampant. I also point out the fact that 98 or 99% of people survive it, and that it is treatable. And it also, I believe, boils down to individuals' own discretion. And if you are sick and you don't feel safe, don't go out. Social distancing, I think, has valid points. Certainly all of the old saws that we've been listening to about how to prevent it
Sure.
have merit.
Yep.
But it's not necessary to threaten people with their livelihoods by ripping their business licenses off the wall.
All right.
or penalizing them with fines.
All right, Steve Christie. I hope the new year is off to a good one for you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. Good talking to you.
Thanks, Steve Christie, Pima County Supervisor, Buckmaster on a Thursday. Be right back. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We're marking the beginning of our 11th year this week on the radio. Tomorrow, by the way, we have Ron Barber, former congressman and Tucson shooting tragedy survivor, on us as we mark a real sad anniversary, the 10-year anniversary of the assassination attempt on Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. Speaking of dates and anniversaries, 50 years was the 2020 for Green Things, and they're still growing. They're into their 51st year over at 3384 East River Road. 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, annuals, and, of course, Zocalo Village. All that great merchandise, much of it hand-carved from Mexico. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the Live Line to Vail, Arizona, and the observatory of Dr. David Levy, our contributor on science, former science editor of Parade Magazine. He's head of and founder of the Sharing the Sky Science Educational Organization, and he's certainly is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, still searching for the elusive number 24. So we could say an even two dozen. But Dr. Levy, how was your holiday season and how's the new year?
Well, the holiday season was great, but Wendy and I are both feeling pretty darn rattled today. What happened yesterday was absolutely horrifying, and going to take a while for, I think, everyone in the world to get over that. That was horrifying.
It was, and I rarely, David, as you know, do a commentary here on the program, but today, at the beginning of the program, I did a commentary, and I talked about this as being a horrifying and shameful moment in American history and one of the darkest hours in our 250-year history. So
I think it was, and it certainly was the darkest day in all the days I've been in Arizona since I moved here in 1979, which was well over 40 years ago.
And one of the things I did say in the commentary, I had that same sick feeling after a very restless night, the same sick feeling I had the day after the Tucson shooting tragedy. 10 years ago tomorrow,
and
the same feeling the day after 9/11. So it's a feeling I hope I don't have to experience again. It's not a good one. But let's talk about something. Well, 2020's been, we all know, a very bad year. It was a very bad year on many fronts. When it comes to sky viewing, how did it turn out?
It turned out okay. We had two major events that I remember, and the first one was in the morning of the 5th of July, and I had given up trying to find the comet, because it's very hard when they say a comet's going to get bright, and it doesn't. And I had my binoculars out, and I went way over to the south side of our property so I could get a look to the north, found the star Capella, and I just went down from it, and there was this beautiful comet with a large flaming tail. The other one was the planetary conjunction. Boy, that was something else.
I liked that
still
one.
Still going on in a way, but just about gone.
I loved that one.
Yeah.
I kind of, actually, speaking of good night sleeps, for some reason, after I went out and looked at that, I think it was about 6:40 in the evening, it calmed me down, and I had a great night. I think I slept 8 or 9 hours straight through, which usually doesn't happen
That's what the night sky does, and that's what it means to me.
Yeah.
It actually is a calming, otherworldly experience.
Yes.
That's why I love
it
so much. It always gives me a fresh perspective of what's happening in the world.
So you understand what I'm saying, very much so.
Exactly, and I relate to it. And you and I have been, between this show and the one before it,
sure,
we've been together too long not to appreciate that.
Yep. Any sky plans for you and the lovely Wendy in the future?
Yeah, in fact, as a matter of fact, there's going to be a view of Mercury as it gets pretty close to Jupiter and Saturn in the next couple of days. It's not going to be easy to see, but Mercury is the closest planet to the sun, is very important. There'll be an eclipse of the moon coming up in the spring that we're going to see a total eclipse of the moon, and then a partial one later in the year.
David, I understand you have two quotes for us today. Normally we do, of course, the monthly Dr. David Levy quote of the month, but we're going to go double bill today.
We're double bill, but before we do the quotes, Wendy is here, and she was going to tell you about what she thought of the conjunction.
What did you think, Wendy?
You know, it was a fascinating experience, and not just because on the 21st they were so close, but every night when I would leave from our office and just walk the path to get back into the house, and I would just look up, they were right there like old friends, because it was the perfect time of early evening to see them. And so every night we watched them get closer and closer. It was like, you know, watching everything just come together. And so we were really thrilled when it was a cloudless night and got to see them super close.
I think it was one of the highlights for me of 2020. Thank you, Wendy.
Well, thanks, Wendy.
You're welcome.
All right. Now, Dr. Levy, your quote of the month, and then an extra quote of the month.
Yeah, the first one is sort of in memory of yesterday. Did you ever see the movie Lincoln, Bill?
Yes, I did. Actually, twice. Recently,
all right, then you'll
reviewed
remember
it.
That,
yes. Yeah.
That heart-rending scene at the end.
Yes.
When Lincoln tours the battlefield.
Remember it well.
And this is called "Look Down, Fair Moon" by Whitman. Look down, fair moon, and bathe this scene. Pour softly down night's nimbus floods on faces ghastly, swollen, purple, on the dead on their backs with arms tossed wide. Pour down your unstinted nimbus, sacred moon. The other poem is something I'm sure you're familiar with, as your listeners are, and they may sort of want to recite this with me. It's something that I feel whenever I'm giving a lecture and wondering if the audience is just going to jump out and run out screaming into the night. Always get that feeling. It's called "When I Heard the Learned Astronomer." It's from the point of view of the audience. When I heard the learned astronomer, when the proofs, the figures were ranged in columns before me, when I was shown the charts and diagrams to add, divide, and measure them, when I sitting heard the astronomer where he lectured with much applause in the lecture room, how soon unaccountable I became tired and sick, till rising and gliding out, I wandered off by myself in the mystical moist night air, and from time to time looked up in perfect silence at the stars.
I like it. We'll leave it right there.
There.
David and Wendy, thank you very much, and hope the new year is going to be a good one and off to a good start. I appreciate it. We'll see you in February. Thank you.
In February, and be safe.
Thank you, and same to you, David Levy. Buckmaster Show on a Thursday afternoon. We have Attorney Don Luce coming up on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management, right after this.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. This portion of the program is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They've been a longtime supporter and partner of our program, and they're anxious. We're anxious. Once we get COVID under control, I hope very soon, they will be open again to out-of-state visitors in the Land of Enchantment, which you can get to Silver City in about 3 hours, and there's a lot to do there and some great places to stay. All of it articulated on their website, which is southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, normally Don Luce, attorney Don Luce, with me in studio, but we have reinstated, due to the spike in COVID, our policy here at KVOI that all of our interviews are being done telephonically for the safety of everybody. Don Luce of Luce Law Group, with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. He is the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books are in their second printing. Don Luce, Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year to Bill. I'm fine. Thank you, Bill. Thank you very much.
I want to begin with the new year bringing some changes in the law, and one of them pertains to texting while driving. I think, Don Luce, some people were under the mistaken belief that that was already a state law. There's some confusion about this, Don.
Well, and there's a good reason for confusion, because Governor Ducey actually signed this bill into law in April of 2019. But unlike the vast majority of laws which took effect in the fall of 2019, this law had a specific date by which it was to take effect in terms of actually being able to enforce it, and that was January 1, 2021. So last Friday was the first day that law enforcement officers were actually able to enforce the law by issuing citations. For the first year and a half, more or less, they were only able to issue warnings, although some communities, including Tucson, by the way, had their own laws that prohibited texting while driving, and the law enforcement officers in those local communities could issue citations based on their local laws. With the enactment of the statewide ban, those various local laws have since been repealed, and now there's just one law applicable to everywhere in Arizona.
So what is forbidden specifically now in the state of Arizona concerning these devices?
Well, You can't use your hands to hold the cell phone to make a call. You can't prop your cell phone up on your shoulder to talk into it. You can't use your cell phone to text or look at videos. You can't use your cell phone to check the latest news. Basically, anything that involves you picking up or holding an electronic device is prohibited. And it's not just limited to phones. It basically is any portable electronic device. So if you have an iPad that, you know, is in the car, it is illegal to be using that iPad with your hands while the car is moving. There are certain things that are allowed with regard to electronic devices. If you have a hands-free system in place, you can swipe the phone screen to make or accept a call. You can talk on the phone if you have an earpiece or a headphone device, or even if you have a watch, you're wearing something on your wrist that allows you to speak, that's legal. You can use voice-based communication, such as talk-to-text, and so you are probably familiar with the applications that allow you to convert words into text. You can use the GPS system. And interestingly, you can use a handheld cell phone while you're stopped at a traffic light or a stoplight. So I guess the issue there would be timing.
You start
you have to figure out when it was time to go and you have to put your phone down. And then, of course, you can use a handheld cell phone to call 911, and it is not illegal to use a phone in emergency situations to contact emergency responders or to alert first responders to an emergency situation.
Are the penalties now in effect then, Don Luce?
Yes. Yes, they are. Up until January 1st, again, you would only get a warning if you were outside of one of those cities or counties that had their own text ban. Now, statewide, you will get a fine. The first violation is $75 to $149, and the second and subsequent violations is $150 to $250. So, interestingly, this law does away with the distinction between primary and secondary offenses. Some of the local laws were secondary offenses, meaning that an officer would have to stop you for something else. And if during that stop it was observed that you had violated the texting ban, then the officer could cite you if the jurisdiction allowed it. Some jurisdictions had primary bans. In other words, the officer could stop you just by observing that you were violating the texting ban or the use of the phone. Because, again, it isn't just limited to texting, although that's sort of what they've labeled the law. It's any phone use, talking, texting, viewing, anything like that. Now it's just a primary ban statewide. So anywhere in the state, any law enforcement officer can stop a motorist if he or she observes the motorist using a handheld device in violation of this new law.
Do I have to surrender the device if I am stopped?
No.
Okay. Let's move on to how about we've only got a few minutes, and I do something very important, minimum wage for 2021 and something about paid sick leave during the pandemic?
Right. So 2021 also brought an increase in Arizona's minimum wage. The minimum wage, pursuant to a proposition that I believe appeared on the 2016 ballot called the Fair Wages and Healthy Families Act, that law provides that the minimum wage starting in 2018 was to increase each year by specific amounts and then thereafter increase by the cost of living. So, for instance, last year the minimum wage was $12. Before that, in 2019, the minimum wage was $11. The minimum wage increased 15 cents between last year and this year because of cost of living, and it will continue to be adjusted each year on a go forward based on cost of living. So employers who are required to pay minimum wage need to be aware of this, because now the minimum is $12.15.
What is happening with the sick leave?
Right. So as part of that same proposition, Prop 206, not only did the state impose minimum wage standards, but also required employers to provide paid sick leave, or paid sick time, as it's known as. And under this law, it depends on how many employees the employer has in terms of how many hours of paid sick time per year are required. So an employer who has 15 or more employees is required to provide 40 hours of earned paid sick time per year. Fewer than 15 employees, and it's 24 hours.
Hmm.
Now, so what can you use the paid sick time for? Well, you can use it for medical care or injury of yourself or any of your family members. And family members is a pretty broad definition. You can also use it for anything that you are affected by with regard to a public health emergency. And a public health emergency, incidentally, means a state of emergency declared by the governor. And you remember back in March of this year, Governor Ducey did declare a state of emergency in Arizona because of the pandemic. So if an employee was affected by that, in other words, wasn't able to go to work or had somebody who wasn't able to, for instance, go to school, who required care, right, a minor, mm-hmm. That employee potentially could have used paid sick time to be compensated for the time that they needed to attend to their family member by reason of that emergency. Currently, with the pandemic spiking, I wouldn't be surprised if more employees than ever now had to take time to either get tested and or take care of a family member if they themselves don't get sick, who is affected by the pandemic. And so I think it's important to remember that in Arizona, you have paid sick time, and that that paid sick time may be available if you have to take time off of work for one of those reasons.
All right, Don Luce, thank you very much. Stay safe. I want to tell our listeners about your two books, both available on Amazon, I assume, right, Don?
Yes, Amazon, and I think they're still in some bookstores around the state as well.
And the books are Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers. Great information in both these books. And Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, a good time at the new year here to start thinking about estate planning. Both books are in their second printing. Don, I hope you and yours have a great 2021. Thanks for your support as we're celebrating our 10-year anniversary this week of the Buckmaster Show, and you've been with us since day one. Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Bill, and I hope you stay safe.
Thank you very much. Don Luce of the Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Tomorrow, former Congressman Ron Barber on the 10-year anniversary of the Tucson shooting tragedy. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Tom Fairbanks has been ably manning the buttons on the other side of the glass with our engineering and producing our program. Dave Ramsey's very popular show on money is coming up next. I hope everybody has a great afternoon. Talk to you tomorrow.